couple of Sundays ago, my duties took me to the parish where Mohammed Emwazi, alias Jihadi John, was brought up. And you can imagine that the subject of religion and schools was very hotly debated on that visit. And one teacher said to me, and I was very sympathetic with this, she said, in our school, we leave religion at the school gates. And I can understand that point of view in view of the many crimes with which we're daily made familiar in all the news broadcasts, crimes committed in the name of religion. But, of course, every educational regime, every school is based on a certain understanding of the nature of human beings and what is worthwhile about life. You can't have a school without having that kind of foundation. And there is no such thing as secular neutrality. That's one of the most implausible myths around. Many schools, of course, are based on the assumption that the economy is the only game in town, and fitting young people to be productive units in the economy is the supreme educational task. And that's the assumption on which a lot of schools are founded. But in any case, you cannot exorcise the satanic by creating a vacuum. Religion can't be stopped at the school gates because it comes in with the students, for good or for ill. And I also have to say, as a grizzled veteran of the attempt to write citizenship courses for schools, simply intoning generalizations like tolerance, respect, and fairness, with which we would probably all agree, just does not generate one iota of the energy that's necessary to transform lives. And this is very serious because there are two very surprising truths about the spiritual life which ought to be borne in mind, and especially at a confirmation. And the first is this: everybody worships. Of course, I'm not deluded. I know perfectly well that there are people who put atheist on their census returns, but it is only part of human nature to shape our future, to shape ourselves, by referring to something or someone we regard as attractive or fearsome, something to which we ascribe worth. And in that sense, human beings are worshippers. Most often today, of course, the something is an idea: wealth, power, glamour. And the ancient Greeks were sensible enough to clothe these ideas in attractive human form. It was Hercules for pimply adolescents. It was Aphrodite for the readers of Vogue. Now, of course, these ideas are most often projected onto celebrities and their lifestyles. But in some cases, this universal disposition to worship, in which we are all involved, takes more sinister forms. Idolatry, which the prophets of all religious traditions constantly denounce, idolatry is making a god in our own image, projecting some part of ourselves and naming it God. And typically, it is the bruised and humiliated ego which surreptitiously reascends by projecting its own rage and lust for power. One cannot help thinking that this kind of idolatry, the bruised and humiliated ego surreptitiously reascending, possesses many people in our modern world. And this is very serious, that everybody worships, because of the second surprising fact of the spiritual life. certain kinds of prayer are always answered. And the prayer that is always answered is that you turn into the kind of God you worship. There are marvelous Flemish paintings of usurers whose god is lucre, wealth, and you can see how it's put a mark on them. There are other people whose lives are very generous. We are thinking today especially of mothers who spend themselves in providing a loving and encouraging environment for children to grow up. That kind of lifelong decision also leaves its mark. So this morning, as we surround these young people with our love and with our prayers, the question of what God are you worshipping is a very serious one, because make no mistake about it, we all are. And the young people here have decided, and soon they will be saying, in answer to the question, do you turn to Christ? They're going to say, I turn to Christ. And the key to the kind of God you're worshipping is supplied in that gospel reading we have just heard. And if there is one phrase to take away from this morning, it's this: God so loved the world that he was generous. He gave himself. God so loved the world that he was generous. He gave himself to us in the person of his human face, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's plan embodied in flesh and blood for the spiritual evolution of the whole human race. And his way of self-giving love, which was revealed in all its depths on the cross, leads to the evolution, the spiritual evolution of the whole human race. The letters I receive reveal that we have candidates this morning with loads of energy. And as you start out on life, it's vital to aim high, develop your talents and your gifts in order to share them with others. So as we aim high, we mustn't forget that Jesus taught that the first step in becoming a human being is to refuse to be a little god. He went down to the River Jordan to accept baptism at the hands of John. Talia is just about to be baptized, and it was only a very few days ago that I was actually, and I should be thinking of this as I baptize you, Talia, I was at the site of the baptism of Jesus on the banks of the River Jordan. And what I hadn't realized before is that that is the lowest place on earth. It is 1,300 feet below sea level. The place where Jesus was baptized, where the Jordan is close to flowing into the Dead Sea, is the lowest place on earth. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven except by water and the way of humility. The only way is not to make a god in our own image, but to cultivate the beginner's mind and receive the God who gives himself away. Beloved, you are beginning a spiritual adventure. Being a Christian means this: aim high, be generous, keep humble, and make friends. We've all been given gifts to share with others. Absolutely every one of us has been given gifts to share with others. If we keep them to ourselves, we curdle and we shrink. So aim high, be generous, keep humble, and make friends. What did I say then? Can you remember any of that? What was the first thing? What have we got to do?
Yeah, that's very good indeed. Yep, that was the first thing. Aim high. What? Be generous. That's great. Be humble. Brilliant. Make friends. That's the key. That's the way you're on. And if you keep on that way, please God, you will be a blessing to the world. Amen.